This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The Federal Consumer Finance Protection Bureau recently released a study that found that payday loan shops with their high-interest products can become debt traps for many consumers. The study cited loose lending standards, high cost, and risky loan structures as factors that could contribute to a debt cycle. The annual percentage rate for these loans could be as high as 391%. The feds are looking for ways to rein in payday loan outfits, and so is the Texas legislature. The Pew Charitable Trust classified the Lone Star State as one of 28 permissive states when it comes to payday loan regulations. Pew found that 8% of Texas residents use payday loans, above the national average of 5.5%. We invite you to join our conversation to talk about payday loans. If you've taken one out, if you struggle to pay one off, if you work at a shop, if you think you're providing a great service that needs to continue, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Texas State Senator John Corona. Welcome to The Source, Senator.
Pleasure to be with you.
And also Andrew Wheat. He is with the Texans for Public Justice, an anti-corruption advocacy nonprofit watchdog organization based in Austin. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the show. So let me ask you, Senator Corona, you are spearheading legislation trying to corral payday loan industry in Texas. What is your legislation attempting to do?
Well, at its most important base, I would say we're trying to curtail the cycle of debt. We want to make sure that when people choose to take out a payday or an auto title loan, and they are somewhat similar products, that there is a reasonable ability to ever get out of that debt, to ever pay it off. And so there are a number of things we're doing, including putting in specific language in terms of a person's ability to qualify for a certain amount of funding so that they don't overborrow. We're restricting the number of payday-like products they can have in existence at any one point in time. We're taking a look at all of those issues. We're allowing for a period to repay. Once a person reaches a point of default that they can't continue, we're allowing them a period where they can pay off the debt without the occurrence of additional charges and surcharges and fees added on top of it. These are very expensive products, make no doubt about it, and I think the job of the legislature is to step in and really try to rein in these products. I would hope no one would ever have to have a payday or auto title loan, but while I'm not convinced it's the legislature's decision at this point as to whether or not the products exist, I do believe it is our duty, and it's long overdue, that we begin to regulate these for the benefit of consumers.
Now, I've read that there is a possible restriction on the books of a 36% APR. Is that still possible, a cap on percentage rate?
If the bill continues to advance and the Senate has heard the bill and voted it out favorably, there is a like bill working its way through the Texas House right now. Eventually, we'll be in a conference committee to reconcile the differences. I don't believe there'll be the political will in the end through the House to leave that 36% cap on. But you, in essence, create a cap by placing strict qualification limitations into the bill, which is what we did in the Senate, and what I'm confident they'll do in the House as well. And so we said, a person of X amount of income can only borrow, including all fees and other charges, a certain amount. And it's, of course, a sliding scale based upon one's income, but it sharply reduces what that total payment can be, and therefore reduces what someone can borrow, and ultimately what those additional surcharges, those additional costs that would be tacked on by the lender might be.
Texas is one of 16 states that does not cap interest rates charged by payday lenders. So other states do it. Apparently states do have the ability to do that. Nationally, the typical fee charged by a payday lender ranges from $10 to $15 for $100 borrowed. But in Texas, the average price that you pay to borrow $100 is $23. So certainly they pay more in Texas for a payday loan than they do across the state. So obviously the industry can survive in other states. They're just not going to make as much money as they do in Texas. Is that a correct read on that? Andrew Wheat of Texans for Public Justice.
Yeah, well, I think so. We mainly follow the money side of all this equation. How much is the industry spending on lobbyists? How much is the industry giving to lawmakers and other state officials? And there is a full court press going on to kill any serious reform in this state. And a lot of the money that's being spent to acquire that kill is coming from other states. And the reason is that Texas is the Wild West in two ways. We're the Wild West in money and politics. There's no limit on how much money an individual can give Senator Corona or any other candidate for legislative office in this state. And we have this huge market in terms of population and working poor that has a virtually unregulated market for these kinds of payday loans and auto title products. So there's a huge amount of money coming from all over the country on this issue. And we found since 2009 the industry has spent close to $4 million in money given to Texas candidates, state candidates in the state of Texas. And we've got a forthcoming report that is almost done that tracks anywhere from $2 to $4 million being spent right now in the state of Texas on 82 Texas lobbyists to try to kill serious reform in this state. They have 82 lobbyists, including 8 former lawmakers. So it's a hell of a push.
So there's big money at stake, and the people who want to keep prevent big regulation from coming into place, they're spending it to try and keep that from happening. So Senator Corona, when all this money starts flowing in, how does that impact legislation? Does it really work?
Well, it does work to an extent. I don't disagree with anything that my colleague just stated. He's right on the facts, and money has been given generously throughout the legislature, I might add, including into my own campaign. But there are those of us who are independent enough and believe in doing the right thing that they'll step forward and they'll make the tough reforms that are necessary. The bill that left the Senate, for example, that favorably was estimated to save consumers upward of $221 million per year. That estimate came independently from our Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. And so we are trying, with all of the political might that we have, to make the reforms. But it is an uphill battle, and it is an uphill battle for the very reasons mentioned. The campaign contributions to a great many members have been significant, and the fact is every possible available lobbyist in this town has been hired for the purpose of killing this legislation. And so my job, as someone who's worked on this issue for several years now, is to try to find as much reform and as much will for reform in this body as I can.
All right, so we're going to find out where that's going in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back talking about payday loans. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX.
Good afternoon, it's 3:15. I'm Steve Short. There is an accident on southbound Highway 281 at Josephine, just north of downtown. The left lane is closed. Traffic is slowing in the area. Also, watch out for an accident reported on southbound I-35 at Southwest Military Drive. There's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. A low is expected around 62. It'll be cloudy and windy on Thursday with temperatures falling into the 50s. Currently, it's mostly cloudy and 84 degrees in San Antonio.
Support for KSTX comes from Flex Stick Company, makers of the three-legged shock-absorbing walking cane designed to adjust to gait and changes in walking surfaces. Available in a variety of styles and colors. More at flexsticks.com.
Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about payday loans. If you've got a story to tell about what happened if you took out a payday loan, the number to call, 614-8980. If you want to, you have an idea on where the regulation, legislation could go on this, 614-8980. We're talking with State Senator John Corona and also Andrew Wheat, a Texan for Public Justice and Anti-Corruption Advocacy Nonprofit Watchdog Organization. And So, Senator Corona, it seems like you're from the Senate side. There was quite a substantial legislation that was passed, but it looks like the House is the holdup, and there are some people that are afraid actually that the legislation could get passed would prevent cities like San Antonio from regulating payday loan outfits and basically make it easier for payday loaners to operate.
Well, our intent is not to make it easier for anybody, but allowing cities to regulate financial products is really unprecedented. That type of regulation occurs either typically at the state level or even at the federal level. So while I recognize the cities are acting out of frustration because the legislature has not been able to bring forth the political will to address this issue in the way that it really should be addressed, I think cities are all about local zoning ordinances and sign ordinances and health conditions of these premises, and our legislation certainly allows them to continue to handle all of that. We're not trying to preempt any of that, but the issue of regulating the financial product in and of itself, I really believe, needs to be brought to the state level for several reasons. One, of course, is the fact this industry has a long and very successful history based on the Constitution of winning these various court battles. You look around the country, and more often than not, the industry ultimately prevails. Second is just the fact that the cost to the cities to be in this kind of protracted litigation is, for most cities, even large cities, a cost that is unbudgeted and a further burden on local property taxpayers. And then at the end of the day, the technology is changing so rapidly that these type of lenders will be able to use a tablet and other technology to send agents out into the field to close these loans, which means that a city's boundary, the property line of a city, will really become irrelevant. And once that happens, then they have no capacity, regardless of the ordinance they pass, to actually regulate the industry. And so technology, the cost, other factors, you know, really point up the fact that this needs to be dealt with at the Capitol level, in our case here in Austin. Now, that does not mean that the bill that ultimately passes should be any weaker than what a city can do, but I do think that's the right way to handle that sort of issue, and to let the burden of cost and enforcement be borne by state government, which I think is the appropriate place.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. The line is 614-8980. If you got a story to tell about getting a payday loan, Rick is on the line. Welcome to The Source, Rick.
How are you doing, gentlemen? Great topic you guys are talking about. And I work in an area that you don't really see financial institutions like a J.P. Morgan Chase or Wells Fargo. You see these payday loans, and the people who depend on them are very poor. And my question is to you, gentlemen, is how could you – What public good do these institutions provide for us? You know, you're saying that we should a reasonable amount is about 37% APR, whatever interest rate you could suggest. When credit unions only could do it at 25%, Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, suggested we cap these rates at about 25%. So my question, gentlemen, is do these institutions actually do good for the public? And if not, why should we pay attention to these people's money and their lobbyists? And if you guys are so against it, why don't you be more vocal and actually call out names of the people who are supporting this? Because it sounds to me like you both don't agree with these institutions even existing. And thank you for the opportunity.
Rick, thank you for your call. So, Senator Corona, I mean, these payday loan operations do provide a service, or else people wouldn't go to them. Who takes out a payday loan?
Well, I mean, the fact is the average family income of a payday borrower is almost $70,000 per year. So while it is true that these operators are certainly prevalent in our poorer neighborhoods, they're also popping up all across middle-class neighborhoods as well. I have a large number of these type of lenders in my own district, and my own district is one that would be considered a more affluent district than some. You know, it's the age-old problem is that, you know, there are some people who simply through bad choices, sometimes just through misfortune, but whatever the case, simply have no credit available. And while there are less costly sources available, credit union might be the case, there are other types of lenders that we have written into our finance code that provide higher rate loans to consumers. They all represent what we would all call, I think, low rate compared to what payday lenders do. But if someone has so abused all of those other products that they have no other choice but to seek out somebody so they can feed their family literally or keep the lights on or whatnot, it makes it very difficult to argue that these products don't serve some purpose. What happens though in these products is that oftentimes, those same individuals, for the same unfortunate reasons that they couldn't pay those other better type of loan products at lower interest rates, can't repay these products as well. And once that happens, where the lender, the payday lender or the auto title lender makes their money are on all the fees and surcharges and late fees. That's where and the renewal or rollover fees, and you know, which are brought about when somebody simply can't repay it at the end of 2 weeks. And so there's no question that we wouldn't have so many of these lenders around, over 3,500 now in Texas alone, if there wasn't a public outcry for their existence. At the same time, as I sit here not needing a payday loan or an auto title loan, I wish no one ever made the decision to go to one because they are hideously expensive. But there's the public policy debate. Do we regulate them or do we outlaw them altogether? If you ask me personally, I just assume outlaw them altogether. But you have to deal with the political hand you're dealt. And here in the Capitol, there is enough political support for these, in part because of the lobbying efforts, but in part because of the consumers who use these type of loan products that they continue to exist. So you've got to find the best legislative balance you can to regulate without putting them out of business, because you could not get the votes in this legislature to put them out of business.
So, Senator Corona, you're saying we have a large percentage of people, population, that they're unbanked. They just don't operate in the banking system, or they had a credit score that has just been so torpedoed through not paying back loans or whatever in the past that they have no place else to turn to if they're in a pinch, an emergency. They'll end up at a payday loan operation.
That is true. And unfortunately, we live in a culture today, not just here in Texas, but across America, where people are not as fearful about debt as they once were, and they're not as responsible about repayment of debt as they once were. Not a good trend at all. But unfortunately, those consumer habits are what have resulted in the explosion in terms of the number of these types of businesses here in Texas and in those other states that do allow it.
Yeah, well, people who are, they see billion-dollar bailouts of big banks. They wonder why they got to pay back their loans, too. So let me ask you, Andrew Wheat of the Texans for Public Justice, what do you see is happening right now in Austin with all of the lobbying going on? Is it really going to torpedo the legislation, or will we see are the odds good that we're going to see some positive legislation?
Well, if I had to bet, I would bet that Senator Corona's bill, as modified by the Senate with amendments on the day it passed, is going to die a quiet death in the House. There is a huge amount of money at play here. We know that the biggest target over the last 2 years for the industry in the legislature is Speaker Strauss himself. 10 cents of every dollar they spent went to the Speaker. For some reason, they had the House targeted going into this, which is not to say that there wasn't a huge amount going into the Senate. But there is a massive force going on. Some of the discussions, preliminary discussions in the House, have had lawmakers making ludicrous statements about, how can we limit somebody to just one auto title loan? What if some kind of car dealer wanted to take out a series of car title loans? These are ridiculous discussions that are meant to kill any kind of significant reform. Again, we are one of 16 states that has no significant regulation. I agree with the senator, there's a demand for this product. But there is no rational, defensible reason of why our state can't put regulations and rules on these products. 35,000 Texans lost their car last year to auto title lenders. You know, this is the cowboy state that reserves the right to secede. Your vehicle, your truck, is your income. It's your way of life. 35,000 people lost their cars. That's a desperate situation. Why is it in 2013 that our lawmakers, our representatives, can't stand up and defend the neediest people in the state?
Well, according to the Texans for Public Justice, your organization, Speaker Joe Strauss, has received donations from payday loan outfits $312,000 since 2009. That's more than anyone else. So there have been past efforts to try to reform payday loans in Texas, and in the last legislative session there was an attempt, and then all they really did was change some of the names and some of the instruments that they use, and it was back to business form. So, Senator Corona, how do we know that that's not going to happen again?
Well, first I would tell you that there were three bills last session. Two of them passed, and I think they did more than that. I think for the first time we were able to register and get our arms around just who are these lenders, where do they exist, how many of them are out there, what types of products are they offering, and for reporting purposes, what type of fees. There's a lot more work to be done, obviously, than what we did last session, but it was the first toe in the water, if you will, what we did not successfully address, though we tried. We had a bill, and it just did not pass, was to deal with this cycle of debt. This session, it really is all about the cycle of debt, and I think I would concur with the remarks made earlier. It's going to be an uphill battle. I'm not ready to concede. I don't really concede almost any issue, but I do believe that our chances at very best right now are about 50-50 at very best. But if we can get a bill through the out of committee, and it's currently in the House Financial Services Committee, if we can get it through the committee, which I think it is possible, and get it onto the floor, amended in whatever fashion it may be, once we get it to conference committee, I am convinced we can produce a product. It's just going to be a matter of can or can we not get it to conference committee. And it's going to take a lot of fortitude and a lot of patience over the next few days to see this bill advance, if it's going to advance. But I'm of the opinion it has to, and here's why. If we don't pass reform this session, this industry will be substantially wealthier 2 years from now when we meet again than it is today. And they won't have four basic products that they're offering consumers in this state, which we're trying to regulate. They'll have six to eight. If you look at what they've done elsewhere around the country, they're very prolific in terms of developing additional products and clever ways to market them. And so the window is now, and I really do worry 2 years from now whether or not this particular industry will have grown so politically powerful that it will have not only control of the legislature, which to some extent it does today, right now, but it'll also have complete control of state government here in Texas. And I think that's a tragedy.
Well, Senator Corona, that's a scary thought. Thank you so much for joining us on The Source this half hour and giving us an update on this legislation that's working its way through Austin. And you said it's 50-50, so we'll see what happens. We also, Andrew Wheat of Texans for Public Justice, an anti-corruption advocacy nonprofit watchdog organization based in Austin. Thank you for joining us on The Source.